The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching our stream on the PCTV Select app or maybe watching Channel 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Happy to have you here this morning. April 23rd, kind of a nice morning out there. The fog is burning off. You might have had a little bit of that earlier. I know I was kind of socked in over at my house, very, very thick fog for a little while. Look out there now. It's kind of nice blue skies. We'll find out what's in store for us with the weather in just a moment. I've got a great show for you this morning. We have Michaela Donovan. She's the Associate Director of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. They've got a lot going on right now, a lot going on. We want to talk about all of that this morning, including a 10th anniversary and a big transition that's happening very, very soon. So we'll talk to Michaela about all of that and more. First, let's get to that weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Night is cool with highs around 60. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 30s. North wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, becoming northwest around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Friday, sunny. Highs in the mid 50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, we like to hear 60 degrees. That's always promising, for sure. You never know. We are going to be on a bit of a roller coaster, though, I heard. A little bit under normal temperatures for the next week or so.
It's New England.
It is New England, and it is April. You know, we're going to get some rain. We're going to get some cold.
Yep.
We're not out of the snow just yet, and it can still snow. It just snowed last week.
Yeah,
crazy. But here we are. Morning Drive joins us with Michaela Donovan. Good morning, Michaela.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks
for
coming up today.
I'm happy to see the sun today.
Nice and early.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Yeah, we always like the sun. You know, we get into the situation where it's a really cloudy or rainy or stormy for a long time. And then the sun comes out and we're like, what are we going to do with this?
And you feel human again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like hope in the air.
You have to adjust, though.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I got to get outside today. You said that I heard 60 and sunny and I was like, that's it. I'm in my garden.
That's the day.
Yeah.
Yep. Take it when you can get it.
Totally.
So, Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires and a lot of things happening right now. I think the elephant in the room is the big transition in leadership at the executive director level, where a founder and original executive director, Liana Toscanini, is stepping down. And you said this is her last week. Tomorrow's her last day.
Tomorrow's her last day. Yeah. I mean, we were saying earlier, there's so much of this happening right now. You know, I think we're getting into the era of like the baby boomers are starting to shift and starting to shift into retirement. You know, it's going to be interesting, I think, because I think generationally, like my generation kind of mid-career is looking at that going like, do I want to step into this leadership role? Mm-hmm. Is the way we work right now too much? Like, we're looking at the climate of nonprofits specifically and like what's going on with the federal government and being like, wow, this is kind of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to really be in it for the love of what you're working on and kind of the altruistic, you know, dedication to that. So, yeah, NPC is going through that as well right now. But, you know, Liana has done an incredible job for 10 years of service to the sector and has in really, I mean, for those who don't know what NPC does, you know, we are a support organization for the 1,000 plus nonprofits in Berkshire County. So
And that's a lot of nonprofits, right?
So many.
Compared to other places in the state in the country, that's a lot of nonprofits.
Yeah, I think statistically we're like 27th in the nation for nonprofit employment, and one out of four jobs in Berkshire County is nonprofits. So it's like a major part of our infrastructure and economy.
And these nonprofits need a support structure, right?
Yeah, I mean,
something that the NPC stepped in and Liana stepped in on 10 years ago and identified that need, it seems like, and said, no, I mean, what are these people going to do? They're out there on their own, you know, all trying to do kind of the same thing without any support structure, trying to figure out how to better do their jobs and serve communities, right?
Yeah. I mean, she always tells the story that everyone kept stopping her. All these executive directors kept stopping her in the grocery store. She couldn't even grocery shop because they were like, what do we do about this? And what do we do about fundraising? And she was like, I think there needs to be some answers to this, and there needs to be someone who has the answers. So let's do it.
I suspect people are still going to be stopping her in the supermarket.
100%.
I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we know that, and we value that. And I'm sure that, you know, our new incoming executive director, Samantha Anderson, she lives full time in the Berkshires. Mm. She's wonderful. She's super smart. And, you know, she values Liana a lot. And so I think that having a healthy transition and having a healthy respect for each other's knowledge is like really crucial in a job like this and in a transition like this. Yeah. So hopefully everyone will bring their generosity of spirit and kind of like feed off of each other. And I think that will happen.
Yeah. Fill us in a little bit on Samantha and her background and career and what brought her to take over at Nonprofit Center.
Yes. I mean, you know, I'm going to be very careful to let Samantha kind of like
speak
for herself.
Her on, I'm sure.
Yes, I know.
We haven't had her on
that
the show.
That would be great.
Just yet,
she's lovely. And, you know, she has a lot of experience in the fundraising arena. She's worked with foundations. She also has done a founder stepping down kind of transition where she stepped in to make sure that that was a successful experience, which it was. And I think that that's crucially important and kind of invaluable in this situation. And also, like, I know Samantha a little bit just on a personal level socially. And I think she is just she's so lovely in that she has a lot of energy. People know her. She can walk into a room and really connect with people. She knows a lot of people, even just relocating from the Berkshires, I think from Brooklyn, like a couple of years ago, full time. You know, she's met an immense amount of people. And that is a really important quality in this person. Because we are a connector organization.
Right.
That's literally what we do. So,
it's kind of a people job in a lot of ways,
like,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you don't like people, like, that's not a good fit. So, so it's going to be really cool. And there's only, you know, there's going to be her, myself, and our colleague Elizabeth, who works part-time with us. So it's like a small but mighty team.
Yeah.
So we're excited. We're going to dive right in on Monday morning and have meetings and kind of see where she's at and hopefully hit the ground running.
The small but mighty team describes a lot of nonprofits in the Berkshires as well, right?
Oh,
I mean, certainly we have our share of large ones also. And, you know, I think of Berkshire Healthcare Systems, Berkshire Health Systems, rather, being, you know, a pretty big nonprofit. So it's hard to imagine that the hospital is a nonprofit, but it is. And then you have some nonprofits that have, zero employees in some cases, right? They're just volunteers or board members, all the way down to that, and then everything in between.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of land trusts that, you know, have volunteers that run them. Some of the historical societies only have one person at the helm, you know, a lot of that. And that's it's kind of amazing. And also, when you're talking about, and then there are some that have budgets, you know, $1 million plus, $2 million plus, and are doing like have full staffs. And so, it's a challenge to serve all of them and to know what their problems are and to make sure that you're kind of like there for the big guys and, you know, as much as you are for the grassroots.
And I'm sure all the funding models are different, right? They're getting funded in different ways.
Yeah. I mean, some are more
Go ahead.
Well, some are more reliant on federal money, which makes it tricky. I mean, that's like the farms and some of that stuff has been a little tricky this year. And but then some are like, you know, solely reliant on a couple big donors. And so you really have to think, like, how are you going to, what happens if they turn their attention to something else? What happens if they pass away? Like, we really need to start thinking about revenue streams and diversifying revenue streams. Yeah. I think that's huge.
I can imagine, too, in those cases when you're really sort of, you know, when people hear paycheck to paycheck,
yeah.
that's one thing. But like payroll to payroll
yeah.
is another whole uh-huh. thing, right? And I know a lot of nonprofits can find themselves in that situation. That's,
oh, yeah.
I must imagine, terrifying.
Yes. I have been in that situation.
Have you really?
yeah. And actually, surprisingly, in Nantucket, where there was a plethora of money to be had, and I was sort of brought in to kind of do a little bit of palliative care to an arts organization that was phasing out. And yeah, that was challenging. I mean, scary, you know, because you're responsible for people's paying their bills
right.
and stuff. And that's what... I think that's what I think is terrifying about executive leadership. You know, it's not really like coming up with a strategic vision and all of that. But, you know, it's more
it's
like
the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Right?
At the end of the day, when the rubber hits the road, like, you know, you got to deliver for your team. Otherwise, they can't eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my credit goes out to all of the EDs who are doing this work, especially in smaller organizations, like really just every day grinding.
Yeah. And it's working on behalf of your team, but then also on behalf of your constituency, your board, your community, you know, the people you serve, everything comes down to that. And I can't. So in that situation you were in, what was the most stressful thing of knowing that, you know, month to month or week to week or whatever, that you may or may not be able to meet those demands?
You know, in a weird way, like we in the back of our minds, we always knew we could meet them because board members would eventually be like, here's 20,000. You know what I mean?
Well, those are good board members.
Those are good board members, but it was always kind of like a cat and mouse game rather than a cohesive. And there were a lot of interpersonal things that went on at that organization that were far before my time. But I think that that's really a lot of the work, too, is like, really, what is the culture like at that organization? And how can you, as an executive leader, create a culture of respect and like lacking hierarchy in a toxic way so that people who work there, like mid-level staff, feel incentives to stay.
Sure.
They feel like they're tied to initiatives they care about. They feel like they have creative voice in the space and that it's not like a top-down situation. I mean, I think that's imperative. And so I think that is part of it. But yeah, that's not a good feeling when you're looking at the bank account going like, oh God, how are we going to pay for this show? Like, you know, that's scary for sure.
And having people, like you said, sort of bought in to the idea of the organization, right? And, and to the mission and what they do, and also to feel like they have some agency within that, right? That they're not just sort of a cog in the machine.
Oh,
I mean, all those things are important to nonprofits where
for
the for-profit area, you know, maybe you just fit in and do your job and, and leave for the day and don't think about it again until your shift starts the next time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting
really
paid over six
thing.
Figures, like, you're like, I'll do it. You know, whatever. I think that the thing that leaders and organizations and boards need to realize is that, like, generationally, my generation and younger, because I used to work in academia, so I worked with late millennial Gen Z every day for a decade.
I'm hearing from you, you're Gen X.
I'm Xennial, so I'm 82.
Right.
So I'm in that pocket of, like, elder millennial, they call it, which I think is just an unfortunate name. I think we're like this. I actually think we're like the weird little secret generation that's kind of kicking ass. But
see, I'm on the opposite end of that. I'm a very early Gen Xer.
Yes. Yes.
So there we align a lot with some of the boomer stuff, but we distance ourselves.
That's right.
From them.
That's right. Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Yeah. And we're kind of like that weird pocket that we were born without cell phones. We didn't have them till college. Mm. Like, we didn't have, you know, we had like AOL Messenger in high school, you know, but we're digitally, we adapted and know how to use it, but we didn't grow up with it, which I think is great. But yeah, I just think people need to realize, like, this younger generation, like, they're not going to stay, you know, if the salaries aren't there, then the respect better be there, then their voice better be heard. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just going to leave. And that turnover can be detrimental to a nonprofit that you know, you got to start all over. It's very expensive to start all over. You know, you don't want to do that. So I think understanding and giving people that kind of quality of, a voice in a space, regardless of what their position is. Yeah. Like, they could have just come in last week, but that doesn't mean they don't have something to add.
Yeah.
You know?
And you mentioned the expense of bringing new people in and replacing.
Yeah.
And some people just can't be replaced,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It just is the way it is. I mean, I guess everyone is exchangeable at one point or another.
Yeah.
You move on, but you never quite have the same thing. And then you spend, as you mentioned, time and money bringing new people, you know, into the organization, up to speed, getting them aligned with the vision and the priorities that you have.
Right.
And, you know, it's an investment. You want to keep them.
Yeah. And also, like, if you're running something that has to do with food insecurity, you don't have the luxury of that. Like, people need to eat
every day.
You know, like, I mean, some of our organizations, you don't want to say one is more important than the other, but, you know, like, if people need to eat or get health care, like, that's kind of an emergency, you know? And so, yeah, I think, you know, creating a workplace culture that feels really healthy and everyone really wants to be part of is essential.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. Michaela Donovan, my guest here this morning. She is the Associate Director of Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, and we're talking about nonprofits and the NPC and all the things that they've got going on, hitting their 10-year anniversary this year, as well as having a major transition in executive leadership with Liana Toscanini stepping down this week. Samantha Anderson coming in and filling those shoes. Let's talk about that transition happening, and that's happening now right around that same time, that 10-year anniversary. What does that look like?
Yeah.
How will that proceed?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, we kind of knew this might be happening all around the same time. Like, you can never pick the right time, right? You know, like, the board's going to run on the timeline they run on, and, like, everyone's busy, and so you're like, oh, God, is it going to happen during this or this big event? And actually, in some ways, I think I came in at around this time last year, and I think this is a nice time of year to come in because you really are thrown in the deep end. We have a lot of events coming up, which we'll talk about, and also we're, you know, smack in the middle of April 1st was our 10-year anniversary date. So it's actually kind of nice. I think it's, like, nice to be thrown in and you get to meet a lot of people right away. And then things quiet a little bit for us in June and July and over the summer, as they do for many organizations. And we get to kind of pull back, and hopefully then Samantha will have some time to, like, zoom out, really look at everything and kind of get her feet on the ground with that. So I don't think it'll be too overwhelming for, I don't think.
One of the big events you've got coming up is the Get On Board event, right? So talk about that. What is that, and how does that help nonprofit organizations?
Can I talk about one thing before about that? I did not mention that we do have a $10 for 10 years campaign running, 10 for 10. And so, you know, it's basically for people who might not consider themselves major donors, but they've been impacted positively by the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. Like, maybe we helped them find a board member. Maybe, you know, we helped them volunteer for something. And so that is on our website. If you go to our website in the donate tab, we are running that through June 1st. So it's, you know, you can do $10, you could do $10 monthly, or you could do add a zero or two zeros or three zeros. So, yeah, we're really excited about that. And that's been going really well. And so, yeah, we appreciate anyone who wants to contribute to that. But, yes, we're running that campaign, and then we are heading into Get On Board, which I believe is our third annual Get On Board event.
So how does that work?
Yeah. So Get On Board is basically a board matching event. And we have Get On Board runs all year for us. It's an initiative that we have. And basically, it's like, if you need a board member and you run a nonprofit, you can write to us. You can fill out a form on our website. And then you will be matched with two volunteers who are amazing, who will call you. Can you imagine? Call you on the phone and or email you if you feel more comfortable.
There's another generational thing, right?
That's right. And that goes both ways. So you can reach out to us as an individual who wants to join a board and doesn't know where to start. Or you can reach out to us as a nonprofit being like, I really need a finance person. I really need a marketing person on the board. And we have a whole plethora of nonprofits that we know really well. And so our two volunteers, Maggie and Kim, they work really hard to kind of parse out what are you looking for? What mm-hmm. what kind of fit would make sense for you? And then they match them. So within the
Is it like a Tinder for board members?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah. Do you get to swipe one way or the other?
You know what? That's how we should market them.
Right? Yeah,
yes, well done. Yeah, that's actually great. So yes, that's kind of what it is. And then every year we have an in-person event. So that matching goes on all year. And
so that can happen at any time.
Anytime.
You could always go right to the Nonprofit Center's website, make that call, and get that service sort of.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of like one-on-one consulting, but it's, you know, no additional cost, basically. And then, so we've made, I think, like, I was looking at it last night, like 36 matches in the 2+ years that we've been doing it, which has been great. And then we have this in-person event where we have a bunch of nonprofits come and table, and they bring brochures and information, and they stand around and community members come in, and we have little breakfast treats and coffee. And it's kind of this delightful networking. That's like, everyone hates that word, but this kind of gathering, this community gathering, where people can go from table to table and kind of get a sense of who these nonprofits are and talk to them and make a connection. And then they get their emails and follow up with each other. And it's
so that tabling event
really nice.
Then is coming up.
That is coming up.
That is
coming up on Tuesday. So this Tuesday, what's that? April 28th.
Oh, wow. So
from 9 to 11 a.m. And it's going to be held at Shakespeare and Company in the Tina Packer Playhouse lobby.
Okay.
So.
And if there are any other organizations that still want to participate in that, is there still time?
Yep. We're always flexible. So, you know, organizations can contact us. And then community members, it's free. It's free to community members. They can come on in anytime between 9 and 11. And yeah, last year we had a ton of people, and you know, it was a nice weather day too, so that always helps. But
I can't guarantee what you're going to get.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. So yeah, it was lovely. So that's happening this Tuesday on the 28th from 9 to 11 at Shakes & Co.
Excellent. It sounds like a fun event too.
Yeah, it is fun. Yeah. It's really
and
nice.
So it's another people event, right?
Yeah, it's a people-focused event. Samantha will be there. This is kind of like her first, I think, on the ground event with us. So it'll be nice for people to meet her. Yeah, it's going to be, always a really lovely time. And the nonprofit community here is just stellar.
Yeah.
You know, they're just good people. They're really nice people. They're fun. They're funny. So hopefully people will come join us.
Yeah. What are some other strategies that organizations can use to attract and keep board members? Because it's kind of like the unsung part of nonprofit organizations. A lot of times the nonprofits, the people out front are the staff people.
Yes.
Or if they're volunteers in the community, you see their volunteers and, you know, they're wearing the same shirts or the same, you know, buttons or whatever. Yeah. And you kind of know that they're coming from that organization. The board members sometimes kind of, you know, are a little bit more in the background, but they're an essential part of nonprofit organizations.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they can make or break, you know, because board members are really there. I mean, what I think is really important to know if you want to join a board is everyone has a lane. Like, what are your skills what are your superpowers? You know, what are the things that you're really good at that like, and maybe it's not a tangible skill like reconciling the books and helping, you know, maybe that is, and that's awesome. But maybe it's like, I'm a connector. I'm really good at meeting people. I'm really good at going, oh, those people over there are doing this, and those people over there are doing this, and this space is available right here, and I'm going to like bring it all together.
Yeah.
And, you know, or maybe you're really good at, maybe you have a lot of rich friends, and you're really good at bringing them along for the ride, you know.
Or someone who's really good with communications or marketing or branding of the organization.
Honestly,
things that a lot of organizations have that on their staff also. But sometimes if you've got one person on the staff doing that, it's nice to also have a little bit of backup on the board
100%.
To say, hey, you know, I want to bounce this off of you.
100%.
Right?
And also, like, you could be an introvert, but maybe you're really good at proofreading.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a skill that we need, you know? Maybe you're good at, like, publishing, you know, newsletters, you know, things like that, I think are really, really invaluable. And so, yeah, there's a ton of ways to get involved if you want to be a board member. And the other thing I think is like, this is a time that feels really awful to a lot of people. Like, it doesn't matter your background, what you come from. Like, if you're paying attention, this is a really heavy time. It's been heavy for a while for a lot of people.
And uncertain in a lot of ways too, right? don't know what's coming.
You
the
don't
next
know
day.
What's coming, mm-hmm. right? And we're the technology is like we're just inundated with it. It's just it's a lot. It's too much, and so it can be really overwhelming to be like, how can I make a difference? You know, and I think this is a way you can make a difference. Is like you can bring your voice and your person to an organization trying to do good, and that has a mission that hopefully you connect to. And like a good board member can change everything. I mean, if you roll up your sleeves, like we have board members who come in and like this guy, Brian, is on our board and Brian is amazing. And he comes in and he picks up the chairs and he hauls the stuff from the car. And he's like, he has no ego involved. Like, it's just awesome, you know? And I think that that is invaluable. You know?
It's a rare quality. And I think, you know, again, it gets back to the people.
Yeah.
About people to people connections. And that's something I think that we could probably have learned a few things from an older generation of people. And, you know, the ones that I were was sort of mentored by as I came up through, they were, you know, the board members from the World War II era. Right. And they came back and they wanted to get involved with their community. And they just gave and gave and gave of themselves. Yeah. They were involved in fraternal organizations and service organizations and things like that. And I think a lot of that has faded a little bit in future generations. More people doing things sort of online and by themselves and not getting out and socializing and doing as many things. But it's that person-to-person connection, right, that makes the difference.
I mean, I think there's, like, a lot of reasons for that, for the challenge of, you know, generationally, the younger generation struggling with that. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is technology and not understanding, basically not developing interpersonal skills, not, and it's scary. Then it becomes scary, right? It's easier to stay in your house and on your phone and doom scroll. But also, I think it's a systemic issue, you know, like, a lot of us who are now raising kids who are in prime real estate, right, for joining a board would be a great addition to a board. Like, we do not have time.
Well,
I mean,
it
is like, you know, you're working a full-time job. Your spouse is working a full-time job. You're probably paying off your student loan. If you're fortunate, you might have a mortgage, but you're otherwise you're paying rent. You're trying to just survive.
Yeah.
And so I get it. I think it's super challenging. And I think it's one of those things where people my age and a little younger need to realize that things will not change if we don't get involved, if we don't carve the time to be a part of these things.
Yeah.
And that goes for municipalities, too, not just nonprofits. Like, get involved on town boards. Find out what's happening, because if everyone making the decisions for you is 85 plus, like, they might not share the same values as you. Or maybe they do in some ways, and you can learn from them, like you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's a real need. There's a real understandable reason why people my age and younger are struggling to make time. Yeah. But I also think there's a real need for it.
I feel like something will have to turn around at some point. You know, the things you just said reminded me of the challenges that small towns in Berkshire County have also. They have a finance committee. Yeah. They have, a zoning board. They have all the health board, all the things that are all volunteer positions.
Yes.
And they, you know, small towns struggle to find. Sometimes it's the same people that, you know, serve in all these different roles. And when they're gone, who's going to come up in their place and take care of it? Volunteer firefighters is another issue that we see.
It's a huge issue.
You know, on the news all the time. Yeah. And especially maybe not in the larger places where they've got a full paid staff. You know, I think of North Adams and Pittsfield having a full professional fire force. But all the other places, you know, EMS, another issue.
Oh, my God.
So many places that have traditionally used volunteers, and volunteers have, you know, it was in the culture for them to step up and to do these things. And now they have to sort of reevaluate that and say, okay, how are we still going to do these things?
Yes.
Because the things don't go away, right? You still need the things that we're talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to Patrick White, who works with Southern Berkshire Ambulance yesterday, and those guys are just amazing. I mean, they're working their butts off. And, you know, we don't even think about the fact that, like, they're not even getting the same benefits from the state that the hospital systems are, but they're expected to do just as much work to get people to the hospitals.
Right.
And, you know, and without them, how do we even do that? So, I mean, I think that, yes, you're totally correct. We don't think about it. And I think we all are going to suffer if we don't have a you know, a firefighting unit that can come to your house. If we don't have EMT, like, we absolutely must make it possible for people to live here and young people to afford to live here, because it's going to hurt everyone, right?
Right, and the same supports go for the nonprofit sector.
Look
and
at you bringing it back.
These
Bring
organizations,
it back.
I'll tell you, the organizations do some great work out there, and you've they got do. Over 1,000 of them in Berkshire County doing that essential work every single day. So,
awesome.
Hey, if you're out there and you're you have a little bit of time, doesn't take much, consider serving on a board, consider volunteering for a nonprofit organization.
Yes.
Michaela Donovan, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, coming up to that top of the hour break that we take, and we will do that. And we'll be back with more to talk to Michaela about. We have a big thing happening that they do every year. I'll keep that a secret for just a moment, and we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Wonder what happened to those great local PCTV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade. It's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Go through the process of making a monthly budget, even if it's not perfect. It's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance, ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge, on the PCTV Select app and on channel 1301 Access Pittsfield. On your cable dial, we're here today with Michaela Donovan. She is the Associate Director of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, having a great conversation with her this morning. Everything nonprofit and the support for nonprofits here in the county and things that they've got going on, and a very important event coming up that we'll talk about in just a moment. First, let's do that weather forecast one more time and see what we have in store for us today and maybe into tomorrow. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Night is cool with highs around 60. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening. then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 30s. North wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, becoming northwest around 5 miles per hour after midnight, Friday, sunny. Highs in the mid-50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, not bad at all for late April. We're getting there. Nice sunny day looking like outside today. The fog has burned off, and I'm seeing some blue sky out the window. We can't beat that, although it'll get warmer, but not in the next week or so. We're going to be stuck in that little pattern of some rain and some colder than normal weather, but, you know, not terrible. All right, Michaela Donovan, thanks again for being here this morning.
Yes, happy to be here. Great. Oh, I love PCTV. I'm great always to happy have to be you. Here.
Yeah. And Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires, we talked about the Get On Board event, and we'll transition to the next big event that's happening on May 19th. So tell us about that.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So May 19th is the 9th annual Berkshire Nonprofit Awards. Mm. The Berkshire Nonprofit Awards is such a delightful morning. It's so wonderful. It's basically we gather the whole community and we take nominations starting in January every year. And we have 7 different categories of honorees. And it's really just like nominate people who are doing good in nonprofit work in your community. Mm-hmm. And this year, I think we had the most nominations we've ever had. We had over 65 nominations for these categories. And the nominations are not nothing. Like, they're not a one sheet. They really have to be written thoughtfully. They really take time to write. So to have that many that are that fleshed out is kind of amazing. Mm. So we thank everyone who took the time to nominate people. And yeah, so we announced our honorees, I think, last week. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Can I say who they are?
Absolutely. I'm reading them right now on your website, so we want to do that for
the
benefit of our listeners.
Yes, I just want to shout out to them because they're amazing.
Yeah. And so we should go category by category,
let's
right?
do it, yes.
So the board leadership category?
Board leadership, our honoree this year is Liliana Atanasio. She works her full-time at Milltown Foundation, but she, who does amazing work. But this is specific to her board leadership at Latinas 413, and she is a co-founder and on the board there. So, you know, she's an incredible community member. She's always showing up. She's so generous, and I'm not surprised. I was not surprised to see her name in this category.
And do you find that there are a lot of founders of organizations that sort of bubble up to the top of that? Or is this one
in
of the
board
first
leadership
ones?
Area?
Yeah.
Sometimes, sometimes. Like, I think of like someone like Nikki Wilson at the Triplex, or who did amazing work there as the, you know.
Because sometimes that's the person with the original spark, right? For the for the organization,
that, absolutely
that identified the need and said, "I think we can make an organization out of this." And then later, you've got something that's really rolling right along.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's also always special when it's not like a founding person, but it's someone who really can come in to an existing organization and really make an impact too, which is cool. Yeah.
All right. Next category, we have executive leadership.
Yeah. Sabrina Allard. Okay. So Sabrina Allard, I think, is the deputy executive director at Railroad Street Youth Project. So she's part of the leadership team. And for us, executive leadership includes the whole leadership team. It doesn't have to necessarily be the executive director, but they have an incredible team there. They're doing amazing work. And I don't know, Sabrina just comes up a lot as like a someone who's really thoughtful about, again, like I said, creating the culture inside and sort of really thinking about the decisions that are made. And that was a lot of the nominations for her were in that vein. Like, you know, she's very thoughtful of knowing that like a decision that she makes will domino down. And what does that do to the organization? Mm.
And for people in Central Berkshire County not familiar with the Railroad Street Youth Project, what is that?
I don't really want to speak necessarily because I wouldn't be able to say their mission right off the top of my head. But what they do is they have a space
located in Great Barrington.
In Great Barrington, and they create a space for youth to kind of just come and gather. They have obviously initiatives and things that they do for youth. But I think what's really cool is like I was at South Berkshire Regional, like, middle school, I think it was, a couple, like, Mount Everett a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, and, like, the first thing I saw on the teacher's desk were these Railroad Street Youth Project posters like, postcards, because they were they reach out to the schools to say, if you're lonely, if you're feeling depressed, if you're lost, like, come be with us. Mm-hmm. And so creating that community space and being like a third space mm-hmm. in people's lives, I think, is a huge thing right now.
Yeah.
Especially for people who are just like drowning in technology mm-hmm. and really need that face-to-face connection. Yeah. So that's kind of the amazing work that they're doing.
And I think a lot of us of a certain age can remember a place that we used to go that was like our spot, you know, and a lot of those have gone away or dried up or, you know, not as important. So it's great to have that.
Yeah. So she's doing great work there.
So then we have lifetime achievement category.
Oh, yes. Kathy Marchetto at Berkshire Health Systems.
Yeah, we know Kathy.
Yes. I mean, she's been there, 41 years? Wow. 42 years, I think, of service, and has done some incredible things and, you know, created an initiative for newborns and, like, the health of families mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, she's just an amazing person. She's an amazing spirit. I've only talked to her briefly. I'm going to do all the interviews with them, so I'm even more excited to kind of, I love that day. It's my favorite day to come here and do the interviews with the honorees. So, yeah, she's really cool, and she was so excited to receive this, and her team was so excited for her there. And I just think it's also nice.
That really does reflect well on the whole team,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the time it's the team nominating them because, and that's
true.
A real compliment, you know, when your colleague is like, you're amazing.
Yeah. Well, we know Kathy from her work here with the You Can Cook project.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a long-running project. We've almost 10 years, I think, here it's been running.
That's cool.
And she's been involved for pretty much that entire time.
Well, I think one thing you notice about when you start reading these things in the nonprofit awards and you start seeing the people come that morning and everyone, and it's like not just the honorees. Sometimes the nominees will come, like their organizations. People who have a desire to give, a desire to get involved, a desire for service are doing like 80 million things. You know what I mean?
Well, what do they say? If you need something done, find the busiest person.
Yes,
they'll get it done for you.
I mean, it's like, doesn't surprise me. She has another initiative she's involved with. Mm-hmm, so, yeah, she's going to be great.
That's great.
To support.
All right. Next category we have is rock star. That sounds like fun. We have Billy Idol nominated for this category.
Billy Idol. Yes. Yes. Jennifer Golan is our rock star this year. She works at Child Care of the Berkshires up in Adams, North Adams area. Mm. And she, what I think is cool about her story is that she utilized the services of the organization before she got involved in working for the organization. Mm. And I always think that's lovely because it means there's something there that that organization did for you or could do for you or could do for others that you feel excited about and engaged about, and to like be on one end of it and then flip and be in service on the other end is really cool.
Yeah.
So we're super happy. And it's always really nice to have representation from North County. I feel like North County doesn't often, they're doing incredible work up there, and they don't often get the, you know, the shout outs for it just because it's a lot of like human service organizations and boots on the ground and they're busy.
Yeah.
They don't have time to be marketing themselves and like, look what we did. You know, they're like doing really hardcore work. And so I'm just really happy we have a couple reps from up there this year.
It's one thing about Berkshire County is that it is a very long county geographically.
Yes.
And it does represent some very different types of communities.
Yes.
With different kinds of challenges in all the different places.
Oh, yeah.
And there are people I know, you know, that exist and work around in, let's say, North County that may never set foot in a Great Barrington or a Sheffield or a Sandusfield.
Absolutely.
It's just that far away for them.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of our challenge at MPC is like, how do we serve the whole county with two people?
Yeah.
And also, that's what I love about our work with, you know, side note from the nonprofit awards, that's what I love about our work with the state reps. I mean, we get to work with Representative Lee Davis, Representative Tricia Farley Bouvier, Representative John Barrett. We get to work with Senator Paul Mark, who's doing awesome. I mean, he's awesome.
And he has the largest geographic area of any senator in the whole state.
Yeah, I love him because he's always, whenever he'll join us for something, sometimes he'll have to join us like on his phone from his car.
In the car, as he's driving.
He's great.
We've seen that. We've actually done some interviews with him that way.
It's so great. Yeah. And, you know, and I just think they're just like great people and really skilled. And they help us understand the challenges. And then we help them with our ear to the ground, like, this is what we're hearing from nonprofits. This is really what we're needing. And they listen, they show up, they do town halls for us. Like, it's so cool.
It's important for them to hear that also, right? Because they have so many needs. They have so many people pulling on them for different things. I forget how many different bills were introduced this year in the Mass State House. I think it was like 7,000 different bills. So each one of those bills is someone who basically needs something from the state government. It's a law, you know, an ordinance, whatever it is, funding, you know, whatever. They're there asking. And only a fraction of those bills are going to make it through, right?
Yeah, and
they're home rule petitions. They're all kinds of stuff.
And
out
making
there.
Really difficult decisions. Yeah. Like, how do you do that?
But if they don't hear from, you know, nonprofits here in the Berkshires, they're going to think, well, I guess I'm doing okay because nobody's, you know, coming to me asking
totally.
For
and
something.
That's why we encourage nonprofits to like create these relationships and curate these relationships with our reps because it's really important to keep them informed. You can't just assume they know what you're doing, you know?
It might feel like, you know, I only call them when I need something.
Right.
But in a way, that is the form of communication that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So more categories on the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires annual nonprofit awards happening on May 19th at Pittsfield Country Club.
Yeah,
right?
and 8 a.m. to 10:30. Yeah. So it's a breakfast. So if you buy a ticket, you get breakfast.
Right. Well, that's even better.
Which is really
at Pittsfield Country Club.
At Pittsfield Country Club. Yeah. And it's so fun. And actually, we have musician Jackson Whalen is going to be performing this year with us. Hmm. We have a couple surprises in store.
Okay.
It is Liana's last sort of like, it's a thank you to her. It's a welcome for Samantha. It's like there's a lot going on.
Okay.
So, yes, I hope people will join us. Mm-hmm. Tickets are on sale on our website.
So you can go right to npc.org.
npcberkshires.org. Go to under our programs tab. Yeah. The Berkshire Nonprofit Awards pops up.
The website's very easy to navigate. I just did it this morning.
That's good to hear.
Get in there. If you're looking for something, you can find it pretty easily.
Oh, that's good to hear because there's a lot to put on there. So.
Yeah. How about it?
Yeah.
So category is the Samya Rose Stumo Youth Leadership Award.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Samya Rose Stumo.
Yeah. So Samya Rose Stumo was a young woman who was from the Berkshires, and she was tragically killed in an airline crash on her way to Africa to do service work and in healthcare. And she was quite young when that happened. I want to say she was like 19 or 20 or 21. And so, you know, Liana had read about her story and asked her family, could we dedicate this award in her honor?
Nice.
So that's what we've been doing. We also usually have Lee Banks steps up and very generously offers a monetary award for this, very small amount, but it's wonderful to have. It's really great for the person being honored. So this year, this nominee... honoree, I should say, was nominated by two different organizations, which is very rare that that happens.
Yeah.
And so she was nominated by Rope in Pittsfield, and she was nominated by the AME Zion Church in Pittsfield for her work. And so, and actually was one of the nominations came from her former principal of Pittsfield High. So she goes to Pittsfield High. Her name is Gloria Williams. And just reading her nominations, I like lit up. I was like, this girl is so insanely amazing. Just like, I don't know how she has time in the day. Like, I wish I had that energy.
I sense growing up, she'll be one of those busy people we were talking about.
110%. I mean, she will. I would not be surprised if she ended up being a state rep or, you know, just reading like the nominations and her background. She was when I reached out to say you've become the honoree, like she was the first one to respond, the first one to get me all the things she needed, like just so on top of it. So I was like, this girl is killer. Yeah, so we're really excited for Gloria to be. And we had an amazing set of nominations for all of the youth. And I write an article for the Berkshire Business Journal that's going to come out soon, and it profiles all of them. So it's really important. And they all get invited to the awards, too. So it's just really nice to honor all of them and all the work. And like, it gives you hope, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're like, there are young people out there who are minded this way. Yep. And who don't necessarily just want to become hedge fund people. And thank God.
And to get there, they need mentoring.
Yes.
And they need people who they can learn from.
Yes.
Because it doesn't just all come built in.
Yes.
You need to see how other people have done it and what good they've done, right?
And
what
encouragement they've had. That, like, this is a path, you know, that you can have a livable life and care.
Yeah.
You know, and that empathy is not a bad word.
Two more years. Okay. So we have another category here, the Unsung Hero Award.
Yeah.
What's that?
Unsung Hero. Katherine Benson is our honoree this year. The Unsung Hero is like, a lot of the times what's funny about this is as a person who's like, I don't want to be in the front. Like, I don't want to be, you know, put out there. Usually the volunteer category and the unsung hero live in that kind of world.
Okay.
You know, it could be a person who might be a volunteer, but it actually usually is a person who works for the organization who isn't necessarily the executive director, but is doing like immensely important work and that the organization really couldn't function without them. And Katherine Benson is definitely one of those people. Mm. I mean, she works at Berkshire Food Project in North Adams.
Okay.
And she's kind of the right-hand person to not only the chef there, but also the executive director. So she's kind of playing two roles there from what is described in her nomination. And, you know, she's just kind of, she's the, like, I think they call it the project assistant. But she's been there for a long time. And she's invaluable. And I guess also it's described that she creates like a real culture of respect for the clients there and a real sense of, you know, thoughtfulness around interacting with them and what they need. Mm. And also then professionalism with how the food is cooked and delivered and where they're sourcing things. Like, she just seems like an all around. I mean, she could also be in the rock star category because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we're really, really happy to shout out to them.
Every organization seems like they have the glue that keeps everything together. There's that person who, you know, everything would just fall apart if it wasn't for that person.
And don't you feel too often that person doesn't get any kind of recognition?
Yeah.
You know, because they're the kind of person that doesn't need it.
Sometimes they don't seek it. Right.
And correct.
That's not what they're about.
Right. And that's they're the kind of person that, like, puts their head down and does the work and are consistent. Mm-hmm. And like too often those people don't necessarily get the shout out that they deserve. So we're very happy to platform people in that position.
Great.
Yeah.
And we have one more category to unveil, and that is the volunteer category.
Yes.
That must be a really hard one to judge.
So hard. So hard. Lisa Alberti is our volunteer this year from Literacy Volunteers of Berkshire County.
Okay. And where are they out of?
I believe they're out of Pittsfield.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I believe. Mm. And it's just kind of, you know, I think a lot of, we had someone from LitNet last year in the volunteer category. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's not a coincidence that's happening, because a lot of the times literacy volunteers and at LitNet, they're working with our immigrant population. Mm-hmm. They're working with people with English as a second language.
Right.
And a lot of the times they're also helping them towards citizenship. So it's kind of like this thing where you just think of it, like, you could very, in a trite way, think of it as like reading, but it's really more, it's so much more than that. And it's, planting seeds for people's kind of, honestly, people's freedom and autonomy and choice and decision-making and helping them broaden that. Mm. And so, yes, her nomination was her judging group for this was very excited about her and very thoughtful in the research they did around all of the nominees. Mm. And we were very happy to, she was very excited. Mm. So,
and it says here she is a tutor support specialist.
Yeah.
So what is that specifically, to work hand in hand with people
Yeah.
Especially with the second language.
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. And
so that takes some very intense person-to-person work, too.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, as a volunteer, you know, you're not just doing the task at hand, but you're also, especially in a tutor support role, you're teaching. It's about interpersonal skills. Mm-hmm. It's about human relationship skills. And everyone is so different. So to be able to do that really well and show up for that without needing to be paid, without needing an award, without, you know, is, I think really speaks to someone's character, you know? So it's and again, all women this year,
yes.
We did not necessarily intend for that to happen. This is the second year in a row, but you know, we're thrilled to shout out to all these amazing women.
Representation of women on nonprofits.
Huge.
In Berkshire County.
Huge. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, what we would like to do at MPC, and I think one thing that's really important to us, and we'll see what Samantha, what the goals are, because we're going to go into strategic planning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we need more updated numbers. You know, I think the last sort of statistical study done with the sector was probably 9 to 12 years ago, which is where we get those numbers of 1 in 4 jobs, you know, and like we need more numbers because we need to be able to tell our story in a clear way and tell the story of these nonprofits. And so actually, I don't statistically know off the top of my head how many women versus men are working in nonprofits, although that would be an interesting thing to ask. Yeah. But it's huge. And, you know, is that a surprise? No, it is not a surprise. Doesn't mean I'm hating on, you know, the men out there. But like women are going to have traditionally been gravitating towards more empathetic roles and more caregiving roles. And that's a lot of the work that we do in nonprofits. So it's not surprising.
Mm-hmm. Sounds to me also like there's probably some opportunities for younger men to think about.
Oh, my God.
Service in nonprofits.
Wouldn't that be great?
Right. And I know there are a crisis of boys and younger men these days as well.
Yes, that would be great. And you know who's doing great work with that, I will say, is Greenagers down in South Egremont. They, you know, Will Conklin and his whole team there do an amazing job creating jobs, paid jobs, good paying jobs for young people. It's not just men, obviously. It's like, you know, a ton of across the gender spectrum there doing the work. But really getting people out of their house, out of technology, and creating trails, creating accessible trails, farming, like just doing amazing things. And they have a great culture of support and just generosity, you know. So there are people doing that work.
And just telling the stories of these different nonprofits when we went through the awardees, and we could have gone through all the nominees as well and probably told a story about each of their organizations and why they're important. Maybe there would be some that you would recognize.
Yeah.
And maybe there would be some that are like, I've never heard of that. What do they do? Right.
Yes.
And that's part of the overall goal, I think, of the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires as well, is to get that information flowing and to get people to recognize 100%. All that work and what those organizations do for us.
Yeah. Especially the ones that are like run by one person. And, you know, there's an organization I'll shout out to in North County called Remedy Hall. Remedy Hall is kind of like a food bank for everything but food. Hmm. You know, it's like if you need hygiene products, if you need children's toys, if you need clothing, if you need furniture. And they have already moved spaces twice because they have so much need there and because they are servicing so many people. And it's like no questions asked, you know, it's Andy is a woman who is like Andy and Susan Briggs, who is on the chamber in Williamstown, but she's the board chair. Like they are doing unbelievable work and kind of like quietly, you know, because they don't have the time to be like, what marketing plan are we going to use now? You know, like Andy's
there.
Like, so, you know, I'm happy to when I talk to Gary at the Eagle, I'm like, you should know about these guys.
Yeah.
You know, like that's important to have people shouting out the work that you're doing. And we are really happy to step into that role as best we can.
Well, Michaela Donovan from the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires in our last minute here this morning. It's been great talking with you. It always flies. It just happens. Last thoughts and plug a couple of things here. You got the Nonprofit Awards coming up on
So we have Get On Board coming up next week at Shakespeare and Company on Tuesday, the 28th from 9 to 11. If you want to be matched with a board of directors, please come out and join us. Our 10 for 10 campaign is happening. If you want to donate $10 or more, more for our 10 years in existence. The Berkshire Nonprofit Awards is happening at Country Club of Pittsfield on Tuesday, May 19th from 8 to 10:30 a.m. It's going to be a big party. We're really excited about that. And I just want to welcome Samantha Anderson. We're really excited to have her join us and lead us into the next era, 2.0, we call it. And I just want to say thank you and honor Liana Toscanini and her work, because I'm sure she's going to be very busy. She says she's going to be in her garden, and I don't think that's true. I think she's going to be everywhere.
Time will tell.
Yes.
Very well said. Michaela Donovan, thanks again for being here. Great to have you, and good luck with all the stuff going on.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next week for the recording.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right,
everybody. Have a good day out there, and we will see you again tomorrow morning here on Morning Drive. I'll be back live again, as I always am, on Thursdays and Fridays. Take care, everybody.